Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation. We're getting to know this book, and I trust your Bibles are falling open to it. Boom, right? Oh, well, this has been a fascinating journey for us. All right, so we're in Revelation 17. I'm sorry if I didn't give you the chapter there. In Revelation chapter 17, we have, I'll tell you what, let's do something here. We'll do something a little fun. I like getting young people involved, okay, because the church is not just old people. Can I get a witness? All right, thank you. All right. The church is made up of all ages, made up of men and women, Jew and Gentile. And so we have the joy of spending this time together. And young people, I want you to realize the special privilege that you have to be a part of a church, and you get to rub shoulders with us adults. Can I get a witness? I didn't hear many young people. You know what? I want you to know something. It's very important for you to get to know people older than you, because you're getting to watch how they live life. You're getting to hear how they pray. You're getting to hear how they speak, how they interact, and you're learning. Just like you learn from your peers. Don't you? Don't you learn from your peers, those your age? You do. All right, so tell me, young people, and I'll let you define that. All right, young people, all right, so tell me, there are several groups of seven in the book of Revelation. Can you think of one? Bruce.
Seven churches.
There are seven churches. All right, Ian, what's another one? There are seven seals. Raiden? Seven candlesticks. Any others? Adrian. Andrea. Whew. Seven angels. Good. Seven plagues. Seven trumpets. And that is Serena. Seven vials. Very good. I'm drawing a blank now with more. Ian. Seven crowns. Somewhere in there. Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. So, okay. That is good. All right. So there, where are these seven churches? They're in modern-day Turkey, right? Good. Boy, I heard a young person say that. That was it's like a babe. Wow. Okay, good. All right, so tell me, can you tell me the order? Oh, there was seven thunders. Tell me the order of the... there. It goes seals, then trumpets, thunders... and the vials, or plagues, or however you want to call it, the bowl judgments, right? Yes, sir.
7 years.
Oh, 7 years. There you go. All right. Yeah. Okay, so we have Revelation chapter 16. We just talked about what? The seven vials, okay? Seven plagues. We have seen a lot of hard things happening in the book of Revelation, and we know that God has given this to us to help us realize that He has a plan. He has a plan for this world. He has a plan for you and I. He has a plan for His people. And the book of Revelation kind of lays this out for us so that we're not left scratching her head, wondering, well, what's happening? What's God up to? Does God have a plan? Right? Or is He just kind of, oh, well, let's see what happens? That's not our God. And that's a great blessing. All right, so in Revelation chapters 17 and 18 and 19, we are encountering Babylon. And there are many different views or takes on who or what is Babylon. But we're going to see in the text that in this vision that John sees, Babylon is revealed as a woman. A woman who is called a harlot. Now, a harlot is someone who gives herself to sexual immorality. In other words, she sells herself. And these passages are going to kind of unwrap for us what God's plan is for Babylon. And what I'm going to do today is, as I've done in the past, is we're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. Because it really speaks for itself in that, not that we aren't going to cover it more in detail in weeks to come, but I'm really finding that when we read through these things and get them all in one chunk, it really helps us to say, oh, this is how these things fit together. Because you're going to see the relationship here between chapter 17 and chapter 18 and how the judgments are going to unfold in specific ways. You're going to get to see the reactions of the people of the world, the different merchants and things. The Bible says how they're going to react. It puts their words right there in the text, what they're going to say when they see Babylon come crashing down. And in chapter 19 is when Jesus comes and brings all of this to an end. So, as I'm reading and you are following along, practice active reading. What do I mean by that, active reading? Well, ask yourself questions of the text. Where is Jesus? That's a good question to ask. Where is Jesus? Look for Jesus in these texts, in these verses. Look for Jesus. And of course, when you find Jesus, what's he doing? Or what's he saying? Look for the people of the world. What's happening with them? Look for the people of God. See what's happening with them. What exactly is God's plan? What am I learning about God's plan for the end of the age? What am I learning? How are these verses contributing to that knowledge? Okay, so this is active reading, because I know when long passages are read, sometimes we have this tendency to kind of doze off, or just our minds can wander. Did I say that correctly? Wander. We wander too, but we also wander. I'm still learning my English. All right, so let's follow along. I'll begin reading in chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwelt on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains, on which the woman sits. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is. And the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goes into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now these have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, now these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Well, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in you, and the sound of a millstone And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Wow. There's tremendous power in the reading of the Word of God. What we just read is like a script, isn't it? What we just heard was the very Word of God as revealed to John and given to us that we might know God's plan. Church, as you went through that, I trust that God put his finger on certain things, that your mind was opened to understanding him in a new light. Did you find Jesus? Did you find Jesus? Did you find the people of God? Did you find the people of the world, of the devil? They are all there. I do that, we read those passages like that because I, as you've experienced, there is an effect like none other when you hear the Word of God put all together in that way. In weeks to come, I'm going to seek to unwrap bits and pieces of this. There are aspects of this that men don't understand fully. But I do believe that we'll be able to trace the general idea of what God's plan is as we come to understand Babylon, this whore, called the great city, but seemingly having a worldwide influence, to the point that merchants and seamen all over the world have dined on her delicacies. We get to see the deception of Satan, the beast. You meet this beast, who seems to be the same beast described in Revelation chapter 13 as the one that comes up out of the sea. It has seven heads and has the 10 horns. And you see this woman who rides on this beast. And again, we are reminded that this world and this system is ruled by the devil. And that is just going to escalate, church. That's just going to continue as the devil's presence becomes more and more overt. As you followed along in there, you even recognize the deception of the beast with the city of Babylon, as they even clash together. It sure seems like there's going to be a whole series of battles during these days. There's going to be carnage. So here we have God's plan laid out. And God's plan is given, as we believe, to these seven churches in Asia. Churches. And what's a church? It's people, but it's not all people. The church is God's people, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and He is their head. And so all of this is unwrapped and given to the churches, so that the churches have an understanding of what God's plan is. Embedded in this, you see words of wisdom. Did you notice that? Look at verse 9 of chapter 17. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. Did you see that? You see, God wants us to have the wisdom. So He says, now listen, this is wisdom. And then He gives some descriptions about the seven heads, and what they are, and the 10 horns, and what they are. You have verse 14, where it says, these shall make war with the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting He's called the Lamb? He's been called the Lamb throughout the book. If you've not been with us, we were introduced to the Lamb early on. He's the Lamb. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said that when he saw Jesus, right? At his baptism. And so the Bible wants us to get to know Jesus as the Lamb of God. And that is that goes all the way back to this fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and of the sacrificial system that God set up with His people. That a lamb, His blood had to be shed, had to be a perfect lamb, blood shed to pay for sin. And so here comes Jesus, the perfect lamb. And His blood was shed to pay for the sins of the world. And you see in verse 14 of chapter 17 that the Lamb shall overcome them. You see, the book of Revelation doesn't leave any doubts. And see, this is where there's such a great blessing, and even just the reading and the keeping of this book. because you're not left with any doubts as to the plan of God and His power. Because it says, the Lamb shall overcome them. This is not a battle that you go in wondering the outcome. We do that all the time, right? We don't know the outcome. The Bible tells us the Lamb's going to overcome. The Lamb has victory. And He is called the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That was repeated in the text. Where else did you see that? That title given to Jesus. Where else did you see that? Chapter 19, verse 16. And that is speaking of the one on the white horse. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, I trust that you are encouraged today. I know I didn't do much preaching today. But you know, I'm not ashamed for what we have done today is read the Word of God, and it is powerful. And I trust that your mind is whirring with all that you have heard from God, not from me. And I ask for you to pray for me, that I would be faithful to His Word and helpful, not a hindrance, not trying to come up with some great idea that I can brand as my own, but that God would temper my heart and my study as we seek to understand this as best that we can and use it as God would want us to use it in our lives and also in the lives of others. You know, as I was studying and preparing for this book, for this series, one individual I listened to as he was talking about the book of Revelation, he highlighted how the book of Revelation is evangelistic. That is, that it declares the gospel and calls for people to come to Christ. And that's true, isn't it? We don't think of it that. We think of it all as just prophecy, and it's all this hard to understand stuff. But if people would read this and realize that God does have a plan for the end, and they realize which side they're going to be on in battles such as this, it would have this intent, it would have this pull, wouldn't it? On which side are you? Which side are you? And so we ask that question again. God has a plan. Which side are you on? Are you with the one on the white horse, or are you against him? Is Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your mind and in your heart and by your life? King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Consider what that means. How about that hallelujah? You know, when you read it all together like that, you just begin to hear it, right? You can kind of hear it coming out. Hallelujah. 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 May that be a new word for our vocabulary this week. As you worship the King of Kings, how salvation and glory and honor and power, they belong to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. We're going to close our service by singing hymn number 732, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," 732. The battle belongs to the Lord. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his word. The battle belongs to the Lord. Say it, church. That's right. Glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Your enemy passes in hard to my fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Amen. Lord, thank you for reminding us again of your power and your strength. Be strong in our lives this week, Lord. May we realize your strength. You're always strong. And you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.